make your presentation both GIS and MDD. Welcome to GIS, led by the acting Hollywood. And also the leadership from MDDA. I received an apology from the chairperson of MDDA. She's not coming because their father not well, and so on. So she won't be coming. That's the apology I received to an SMA. But I hope the executive of MDDA will help the board or the company secretary to understand that we don't use SMS games. Let us assist people are not going to be available. But for now, we will live with it. But in the future, the company secretary of MDDA or whoever is responsible must make sure that there is a formal letter which is written around the apologies and so on. Mr. Mani is not going to be with us from the MDDA. From the MDDA, I'm mixing it now. From the MDDA, due to ill health, I'm told that he can't fly, and so on and so on, until his medical condition improves. They try their best for him to come, but nothing could work. So it's also not here that I received. I'm sure I'm done with the apologies which I have. Probably some are still coming. Look, members, because GIS and MDDA are here, probably let's try to deal with them as fast as we can to allow them to make their presentation. Members had the presentation. I hope members have read the presentation. They are ready to ask questions for both entities. So that probably, if we can, by one who has done probably all the work, if possible. If not, it should be remaining around that time. So I appeal to the presenters, those who are going to make the presentation, that try to stick to your presentation. Don't read your presentation, talk to your presentation. We had the document earlier, so we don't want you to read the presentation. We want you to talk to your presentation so that you are able to move more faster and so on. Honorable Killian?
Just for the sake of the following the agenda, I just wanted to make sure that we're quickly going to look at the minutes of the committee so that we have a quorum to adopt the minutes and to make the necessary amendments, adjustments. It's not major. If we could just quickly move to that, I'd appreciate it. So because with the presentation, we don't need a quorum. So I think it would be appropriate for us to just move through the minutes first.
Thank you. That will do. We can do that. Go straight to the minutes. My assumption is that you have read both set of minutes, 5 and 19. I'm not going to take you through anything. If there are issues on the first set of minutes, you better raise those issues so that we try to save time. Remember, the first set of minutes which you are having, Honorable Shin.
think I have motivated why it is necessary to just move through the minutes, and also as per the agenda that was distributed with the committee's notice, it is the correct order. So if we need to change the order, we should do that. But the point of the matter is that is my firm proposal that we need, and you know, during the training session of MPs, they emphasized the need to process the minutes. Thank you.
No, Chairperson, I think I would want to align myself with what your earlier comment was. You know that for those who may have booked flights, you can't change flights today. Flights are all full. And people miss their flights, they won't get home until tomorrow, if they even can get on a flight tomorrow. So I'd really want to suggest, let us take the presentations. And if we have a problem at the end, we don't have sufficient members here, deal with the minutes, we can deal with it on Tuesday as a matter of priority at the start of the meeting on Tuesday. But I really want to urge, let us take the presentations. I don't think we need to get finicky about the order of what the agenda said or didn't say. I think the main purpose of our work today is the presentations.
But let me, before going to Honourable Ruto, do you have a problem to move the minutes for Tuesday? So that we check the presentation. We don't have a problem. Shin?
Chair, I don't have a problem because I think that there are some, well, from my point of view, some extensive changes that need to be made. So whether we would be in a position to adopt the minutes today, I'm not sure. Perhaps what can happen is at the end of the meeting, coordinate everybody's changes and put them for correction and then presentation at the start of Tuesday's meeting, and perhaps we should meet half an hour earlier on Tuesday to allow time for it. I mean, I'm not affected. I live in Cape Town, so we can sit until 10 o'clock tonight if you want, but I would prefer not.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson. I would align myself to the Honourable Shin. I think we need to spend some time on the minutes, and I think some people have got some suggestions or changes, so rather than rush through them now, I would also align myself to those that propose that we move it till Tuesday and then start half an hour earlier. Thank you.
Honourable Kinnan.
Thank you, Chair. I will agree to that, provided that you then give us a briefing on the latest development at the SABC. Because as a committee, we cannot just assume that it's not happening and unfolding in the full flow of public media, what is happening at the SABC board, and this committee is being blamed for not taking action. If you could just tell us what the current position is, so that we are all aware of where we are with the SABC board resignations, the fact that the president has accepted the resignations or not. At present, there is a complete inability of the SABC board to function. Thank you.
No, Chair, you know what? I appreciate Honourable Keelan that she raised the matter of the minutes and you have dealt with the minutes, but now she puts a rider on the minutes. That's not, can't be conditional. She must raise the issue that she's raising now, lamenting about it, and we'll deal with that one as it may. But it can't be clouded as a rider, provided that da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's an order that I'm bringing, Chair. Can you then allow us to be focused on this meeting? Thank you.
Roto.
Thank you, Chair. That is the reason why I wanted you to allow me to speak before you went to your whip. Because I wanted to second the proposal that we deal with the minutes after the deliberation.
I'm saying I'm covered by Uma's story, that I think the majority view that we concur with Honourable Shin without any conditions. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks very much. Probably members were agreeing that we'll defer the minutes for Tuesday, but those will be here towards the end, they'll be able to give us their contribution so that we can start to make some of the changes to the minutes. So that by the time we present it Tuesday, we don't waste a lot of time. And indeed, it means we must start 30 minutes earlier, as Honorable Shin suggested, so that we are able to deal with the minutes without impacting much on the program of that day. Look, the issue of the SABC members, if we can start it, it can be the whole meeting. Even the whole day can finish. But I must say we are all concerned about the SABC. We can't just not be concerned. But probably let us deal with it appropriately, that particular matter. Thanks very much, members. GCIS CEO, acting CEO. I don't want you to sue me and say that I've created an expectation. No, there's no expectation.
just before the GCIS starts, I just want to request that that we accept that we're proceeding with the minutes that will be adopted next week, but that you record on the minutes an objection that we don't deal with the SABC matter here, because it is just a question of feedback of where we are. But just as far as I'm concerned, I will be satisfied if my objection is recorded that we are not dealing with that matter right now, just to get feedback to say what is the role of the PCC in this regard. Honorable Dina Pule sent the matter back to us, and we seem not to take the matter up. So I just want you to please have my objection recorded that we're not fulfilling our oversight role. Thank you.
I don't know what we are talking about, to be quite honest. Honorable Zisoma, then Seven.
I do have a soft spot with the Honorable Killen, but when she starts clouding the issues and grandstanding, it becomes problematic. The issue of the agenda had nothing to do with the issue that she's raising, and you have said it very humbly so, as a concerned chairperson, equally all of us who are concerned about the SABC. Probably, Chair, what the member is raising says that she wants to further amend the agenda, so that she put an item so that she can get a response from you or a communique in terms of how the minister is dealing with the matter. She can't make claims and accuse the minister of doing nothing without facts. And that is totally wrong. It's unacceptable. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, point of order. I never accused the minister of anything.
No, accused the committee, not the minister. I was going to correct that. Seven.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think Chair, Honorable Killian is out of order. He's out of order. We are adjusting the agenda due to timelines that some of the members who live Comrade Stein and others might leave earlier. That's the main reason we are adjusting the agenda for today. And in this agenda that Honorable Killian is referring to, I don't see SABC. I don't see SABC. And like you have said, all of us, there's no way that we are the leader of societies, the African National Congress. We cannot be concerned about the public broadcaster. There's no way. We are equally concerned. And as the leader of this government, we are more concerned. It is our responsibility. Opposition parties, you are our baby, you are our responsibility, by the way. We are the leader of the society. So, Honorable Chair, please, I just want to plead with Honorable Killian that the matter of SABC is not even part of the agenda. We are all concerned. Let us deal with all these other issues in the next meeting. Or if we say we have all the time today, we'll deal with the minutes today, but we've already taken a decision that refers to next week and deal with presentations today. I don't know why Honorable Killian is complicating this matter, unless it's for your own political agenda.
Thanks, Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the time that we've taken to toss this about and political grandstand could have actually had an update on the SABC, and it isn't without precedent. If you look at the minutes of February the 19th, we dealt with issues that were not on the agenda, like the initial resignation of SABC board members and the issue of the ICASA, hijacking of the ICASA councillor Joseph Leboer. So we have a precedent in which matters of urgency are briefly noted and discussed a way forward, and I don't think that Honourable Killian's request was out of order, because we have seen in the media reports of the Minister saying that she has communicated with yourself, and then I think I also saw in the media you're denying that you received such a communication. I think, you know, we actually, as the oversight body of the SABC and responsible for choosing the people on the SABC board, we need just a quick update of where we are and what our responsibilities are, and I do not think at all that Ms. Killian was out of order.
Members, let me try to help. We talk about the issue of minutes, that we can't delete the minutes because we need to do some change with SABC to choose it. You see, it's a different thing if we finish the issue of minutes and then members raise a new issue that we want to deal with this matter, which of course members must agree to deal with that. The problem here which members are raising is that you put a rider in accepting the issue of minutes if there's a so on. But if we have agreed that we defer the minutes to Tuesday as one issue, and of course if the member wants to raise an issue and then raise the issue thereafter, probably as an independent matter, to say if this can happen. I think that's what the other members are saying, that it cannot be intertwined, as they said, that both the minutes and the whole issue which we are dealing about. But the issue of reading about SABC, look, that's why I was saying, if you want to brief about the issue of, unless you are saying I must brief you, and then we don't interact with the matter. That's why I was saying it needs its own time to interact with. Because it's true, the minister wrote to the committee, but immediately after that, people resigned. And as we are, the president has not yet pronounced the resignation. Now you say you must call SABC. If you have read the act, you will understand that there's a critical role played by the chairperson and the deputy chairperson in the SABC board. Who are you calling without the chairperson and the deputy chairperson legally in terms of the act? Now you say, I have no intention to delay this matter as people have portrayed in the media that we seem to be dragging our feet. The circumstances and the reality is that are the ones which drag the matter. We have agreed at this committee that the minister is going to meet SABC, and he wanted to meet them again. Once we waited for that, she wrote the letter to us and said, let us look into the issue of the SABC board. After that, people resigned. Now we don't have a chairperson and a deputy. Someone must convene the board of the SABC, but no one can do that now because there's no chair and a deputy chair. The president must look into the resignation, accept or reject or whatever. If he accepts, appoint an interim chair or whatever he does, so that there will be a leader for that board. So once that happens, surely members, we will be able to say SABC and the minister come before the committee so that you relate the issue. So the events which are unfolding has been making it difficult to deal with the matter. And unfortunately, it's not our making as a committee. Outside there and so on. But as a committee, we are then constrained in terms of how to deal with those particular matters. So that's, if you want a briefing, that will be my briefing. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chair. That's all I wanted to know. We just wanted confirmation about the current state. So we don't need to engage it. We just wanted to hear from you what the current position is. Thank you.
Thank you very much. GCIS.
Thank you, Chairperson. We have taken note of the time constraint, and I can assure some members that I'm going to try and be a dictator in my team to try and manage that we do everything within an hour, that is presentation and the discussion. So I think I'm going to try and manage my team in the presentation. But if I can start by just introducing the GCIS team. I'm Pumla Williams, the acting CEO of GCIS, and on my left is Ms. Nebo Lekhware, the DDG of Government and Stakeholder Engagement, And I've got another Hollywood, Mr. Tyrone Cyril, who's an acting DDG of content and writing. Then another Hollywood, Mr. Gitu Simakane, who is acting corporate services in my previous job. And then I've got Mr. Donald Dipoko, who's the chief director responsible for production in GCIS.
The last one is from Bollywood.
No. I think the Hollywood ended with us. And behind me, I've got another support team. I've got Prashen, who's our secretariat. I always battle with her surname, Chivazi. And then I also have a chief director, Zugi Swapoje, who's responsible for performance monitoring. And I've got Ms. Doris Simpson, who's also another Hollywood, the acting chief director for content writing. And then we also have our parliamentary support, the Ms. Lizelle, there at the back, sir, who's the director in the parliamentary office. And I've got also the team here from the radio, Zimasi Ngailu, who's in the parliamentary office, and Mfundo Magaba, who's in our radio. I'm sure you will note, members, that we didn't do very well with the gender, but I think it's a gender that is pleasing for women. It's 67% women who are in the management, so we're quite happy with that from GCIS. If I'm to take you through roughly the quarterly performance, our first presentation is on the third quarter performance report, but the presentation will be done by the team. But if I could just refresh the members that our first quarter, we came here and we presented 81% success in our target, and on our second quarter we presented 86% success on our performance target. And we can confirm even the variances that were on the first quarter and the second quarter have since been met. So I am just flowing from the first and the second quarter to take you through the first presentation. I'm not going to go through the mandate because I think it's still the same. I'm not going to talk to the MDDA. They are here. They will talk to it. But if I am just going to talk to the overall summary of the slide, which I think I should have also mentioned, members, that this year we did take note of the recommendation that was given to us last time that we should take into account other groups that may not have access to our information on the print. So we came with the audios of what we are presenting. It's outside the audio, and we also have the copies of our report in Braille. So what we are presenting today will be accessible to Braille readers and also to the audio members. So the information will actually be circulated to some of our target audience who are accessing the information. We also came with the annual plan for the year in Braille and also in audio. The third quarter, overall third quarter, you will note that we are recording we had 94 quarterly targets that we were expected to achieve in the third quarter. We have achieved 80 of these targets successfully, and we have 4 of the targets partially achieved. If I can explain the partially achieved, we've got a guideline grid that says if you were meant to achieve a particular activity, if you are 50% have achieved that particular target, we treat it as partially delayed. But if you are over 50% of the success of that particular activity, we then, if you are 60% or 70%, then we classify that as partially achieved. There is a breakdown of all the achievements, but what we are going to do at this point is that we are only going to talk to the targets not achieved, the 2%, and I think my colleagues here are going to be actually taking you through on those which are not many, and thereafter we will move to our strategic plan. So if it is okay, Chairperson, that I hand over to my colleagues to just tackle the 2% and probably also the delayed ones, which we probably members would want to hear what caused the delays. So it's over to you, Neb. Sorry, I think it's administration program one. so that it flows.
Do I have this? Thank you very much, CEO, and good morning, honorable members. As indicated by the CEO, I think we will only zoom on the non-achieved one. But broadly, if I can give you the overview of the administration branch performance, we have achieved 86%, and it's only 14% of all those targets that we said that we have not achieved. And I will just directly go into those that we have not achieved. We've got a number of sub-programs, and the first sub-program in administration, which is commonly known as corporate services, is strategic planning and program management. We had a target of projectizing corporate services business units. We couldn't achieve that, and the reason was as we went on with the implementation of projectization, we realized that there were many requests that came from outside GCIS that we had to do, and then we dedicated much of the time to attend to the external clients, and we left the internal clients, which is corporate services, and that is why we could not do that, and that is the only area where we did not achieve the 100%. And with regard to the other area, it's information management system, where we've got a system that we needed to revamp. This is the system where we store all the information of our interaction with all district municipalities and all other clients that we're having. We couldn't do that because when we did the scoping and anticipated that we'll be able to finish it in the third quarter, we realized that the scope for the revamp was too wide, and as a result, we could not finish it, and then we only did what was we were able to do there. You can move. Sorry. Yeah. As members will recall, we have a big project where we are moving from our current building to a new building, and the anticipation is that by the 1st of April we should be, by the 1st of May we should have moved there, and at the end of the third quarter we thought that we shall have done 90% fit for the new building, but we couldn't do that, and it was beyond our control because of the weather conditions, and as you might appreciate, when building process goes on and the weather doesn't allow, they have to stop. But what is comforting us is that the constructor has assured us definitely by the 1st of May we shall have moved there. And the last one on which we didn't achieve the target that we set for ourselves is the review of the content and product of 1,000 copies of the government communicator's handbook. We thought by the end of the third quarter we shall have produced those handbooks, but we got delayed in that. But the delay was somehow covered by the fact that we decided that we will produce the CD format instead of the hard copy handbook, and that is why we could not achieve that. And I think that will be covered by the fact that instead of giving them the handbook in the hard copy, we will be producing a CD, which is in line with the technology that we have, and we think it will be very user-friendly. I think with regard to administration, that is all the targets that we did not move, achieve. And like I said, that is 86% of the administration branch. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, honourable members. I think as we look at Program 2, a covering note perhaps is just to say that as we assess our performance in this branch in total in the quarter under review, this was a period in which we undertook quite a number of new things, and as is the case, with innovation, sometimes you have some teething problems, you have new interdependences and relationships that you couldn't test previously. But in just about all of these cases, we are up to date in the current quarter where we're sitting today. But just to reflect on some of the delays and partially achieved activities. In the case of Insight newsletter we produced in the quarter under review, we produced two instead of three newsletters. And this had to do partly with the fact that we reviewed some of the operations among the team internally, which resulted in a delay in the quarter concerned with one newsletter. But it's basically placed us on a better footing for the future. And as I've said, as we sit here today, we've basically caught up with this particular delay. If we go on to page 21, I think it is, in the knowledge management area, we were implementing our fairly new knowledge management strategy and procedures. The variance you see, there's in fact an update on a particular activity, which is an audit we needed to undertake that was only due to begin in January, but you will see that when we talk about partially achieved, that the building blocks were established during the quarter under review as promised to ensure that we get the knowledge management policy approved by Manco. And we subsequently started acting on that strategy by hosting various current awareness forums, which serve both GCIS staff, government communicators, and others. And a number of activities proceeded as planned, but it was just a question of the knowledge management audit that is a part of the strategy that that was outstanding. On page 22, if we looked at the annual report on government communications, this is quite an exciting project because it's a report on communications in the public sector, but in the form of a book. And this is part of establishing a knowledge base for ourselves and placing on record the progress we are making in communications in the country in the same way that other lead departments may produce reflections on housing or water or rural development, whichever the area might be. Where we are at the moment, the catch-up plan has been to outsource the writing of some of the chapters of the book to experts in various communication fields in the country. And that's, in fact, in many ways enriched the content, but the where we're sitting in the current quarter, we are on track with the production of the book, and we will certainly come back to the committee in future with that publication, which we see as an annual output by GCIS. There are a few positive variances, such as on page 33, where certain targets were in fact exceeded. That relates very often to the fact that we deliver certain services. We have annual benchmarks, and as people experience our service, the demand grows. So on the one hand, that's a positive. On the other, it means that teams who are already quite severely stretched could be stretched even further. But we've never been a work-shy department, and I think we are always gratified when we see an uptake of the services we produce. A similar situation on page 24 of the presentation. I will, on page 26, I think this is a recurring phenomenon around Braille, where we are advised routinely by organizations representing partially sighted blind people on the demand for Braille products. So you will see that is never a static number. It is a moving target, but it is because we are advised by the sector concerned. On page 27, I think The only issue to draw attention to there is the partially achieved production of two electronic newsletters for public servants. This tops up what we do with Public Sector Manager magazine in that this particular newsletter goes to a broader community of public servants. And it is produced in a unit where we are stretched. We have caught up with this particular program by producing two editions in 1 month. These newsletters are tactical in nature, so we look at issues that are very relevant to public servants, and we believe messages need to be, or opinion needs to be developed, and we then produce that based on current affairs that relate to the public service community in particular. I think that exhausts the variances in this area of all members. Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. I'm presenting the government and stakeholder engagement. We had 24 targets, 20 were achieved, of which that is 83%. And of the four, three were delayed and one was partially achieved. The three that were delayed is the number of Tucson service centers. We had indicated that for the quarter we were going to market 170 reports. We only did 102, and the delay was caused to a very large extent by two things. Number one is there had been some centers that were not, performance in the centers were not so very good, and we felt it would be unwise to actually make more noise and promote centers that are not necessarily working. You don't want to create unnecessary expectations and then people go there and you find that the things are not working. That's number one. The other thing that happened was largely because we had indicated that we were going to have integrated mobile units aligned to the centers where you would have Home Affairs, Labour, SASA, as an example, going to promote the centers. But then in some cases you had had a situation where it's only Home Affairs as a department taking the mobile unit to the communities. And for us, as we don't want to rob the situation, if it's not more than, if it's one, it's a mobile of Home Affairs. But if it's Home Affairs and Labour, then that will be integrated. So some of them were one-on-one, but not coming together as a collective. The other delay has had to do with the assessment of the media reports, and we had indicated that we were going to have 11 media environment reports developed and shared with the DCI's management as well as the presidency. The third quarter included the month of December, and December generally is a lull month. And therefore, for instance, you find that a lot of things never happened because we were leave and people were not there and the media reports were not necessarily generated. And I think a lesson from here is that we are going to have to work thoroughly into analyzing the holidays and even in Easter. So we'll work our targets to make sense and to accommodate the holidays. And the other delay was in the effectively communicating COVID, cabinet decisions. We said we were going to have 10 briefings and statements issued during the quarter. Just to indicate that during this period, there was only 5 cabinet meetings. So this target is aligned to the cabinet. So with 5 cabinet, therefore we had 5 briefings. But over and above that, to further elaborate on the briefings, we had 6 media briefings to elaborate further and more on the cabinet briefings pronouncement. But the bottom line here is that 5 cabinet briefings, therefore 5 cabinet meetings and then 5 cabinet briefings and statements. And the last delay had to do with the number of rapid response reports facilitated. We said we were going to do 72 per quarter. We ended up doing 66. And here again, the earlier explanation also fits in to say that we need to recognize the public holidays. That's all from the member.
Thank you. Donna?
Thank you very much. If I can provide some context, the Communication Service Agency is fairly young within the GCIS family. We have spent most of our time addressing issues around service. So where you see the targets being exceeded has mainly been a result of our ability to market and convincingly deliver on the projects that we have been assigned. There were two areas that we did not do as well as we had expected. The one is a refreshingly positive one, although we have not achieved the target. We had set out to produce radio commercials in 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and 60 seconds slots. However, what we found actually is that especially on the community radio stations, people prefer dialogue, so we have had to reduce the number of radio commercials that we are actually producing, and we are spending more time on a longer format one-hour show that allows people to actually phone in and interact and ask questions of the departments. The second one, which is on page 62, was really we realized that there was a risk in that our archives had not been digitized. The bulk of the archives of all the footage that we have been shooting over the years was saved on tape. And we undertook to digitize the entire archive. Unfortunately, the technology that we required was not available in South Africa. We only got delivery of it in December. There were some delays in terms of implementation because we needed to train our staff to make sure that they could actually utilize the software properly. We have started and we are making contingency plans to catch up on that target. Those are the two areas where we did not perform.
Thanks, Donald. Members, if I'm to just summarize the areas that we have delayed, and which I think we need to also emphasize, for instance, on the project management principle, we feel that this is one area that corporate governance can thrive if we can get public servants to understand the basic project management principles. I think half of our battle was delays in payment, delays in processing the resignation. And I think this is what we're trying to achieve. Yes, I think the administration is saying that we are delayed and there's a likelihood that we may not even crack it in this financial year, precisely because of some of the challenges of project management in other areas of communication. So we might actually delay this and we don't see us succeeding to really infuse the project management principle within corporate services. And the second area that I need to also emphasize, which I think I should emphasize, that we will be working, we are not going to remove it, we will even put it, even if it's in the next financial year, because we think that corporate services has to operate within that principle. The area that Tyrone was also highlighting around government communication report, we feel there is a gap. I think this report, if we can manage to crack it, it will also be useful for the members of the Portfolio Committee on Communication, because what we seek to do is to have a consolidated communication report that when you look at it holistically, you know what is happening in agriculture in as far as communication, what is happening in water affairs. So we're trying this project, we want to do it, it's taking a bit longer, but we want to have a consolidated report from governmental, departmental websites, from annual reports to media briefings and everything. I think we are delayed, but I think we want you to commit to the members that that report will be coming. We may have just got it wrong in terms of the time frames, but we still feel strongly that we want to do it. the area that Nebo was mentioning on marketing of the Tusong Center, I think we do need to be honest enough. I think the area of Tusong Centers, we are not cracking it, because our area of work is marketing the Tusong Centers. But in terms of whether they operate, in terms of the home affairs, does it open, in terms of maintenance of these centers, it's residing somewhere else. So I think what NABU is trying to say is that, yes, we committed that we're going to market X, a number of Tusong Centers, but it's dependent on whether all of them are functioning. We are actually preparing a memo, Chairperson, if I am to raise this issue to Cabinet again, to say there has to be some kind of a discussion of where is it really going to be residing and who is going to commit resources of maintaining them, because we feel very strongly they are useful centers for communities that don't have access to the mainstream urban areas. So I think we are preparing something to take it up, because we don't want you to come back to yourselves and keep saying we couldn't do it when the bigger problem is remaining unresolved. The other last two that I need to summarize, I think Donald is also saying that we are behind with 3,000 digitizing of our archives. We also have to say to members, when we were starting the exercise of trying to relocate, we actually got a rude awakening to find that the historical information of government communication dating even prior to CIS's time is residing in some office, and it's piles and piles of tapes, and it's stuff that we cannot actually afford to lose. So what we then decided is to start the project of digitizing the material. I know. So what we didn't realize that the problem is actually quite big. We thought it will be just quick, buy the equipment and do it just like that. But I think we are now learning that it's a whole minefield to actually convert the 1970 tapes into some digitized material that can be even used. But we are moving on. We are delayed, but I think we are moving. And lastly, Chairperson, if I'm just to highlight, because we are going towards the end of the financial year, we've learned a lot with this exercise of reporting to yourselves on a quarterly basis. It has given us some rude awakening that some of the figures or the dates, we were thumbsucking them, because I think, as we indicated earlier, that the media briefings, we said 10, we forgot to count weekends, and we forgot to count recess. And I think we have had to learn the hard way that we had to come back to you and say, sorry, we didn't count it. But I think we're working on it, and we're going to improve it. And that's about it on the performance or the report back. But I don't know whether, Chairperson, can I move on to the threat plan? But that completes our quarterly report.
Right on.
Thank you. Oh, I'm told that I should have actually spoken to financial, but I think I'm not going to talk too much, because I think we are also going to be, can I just take through the numbers? Just, if I'm to take the last slide as a consolidated expenditure, I think you will note that our total drawings, that's money that we threw into our bank account for the quarter, third quarter, and the expenditure and the variances, as you will note them in the last column. And I think these variances, Chairperson, they are consistent with the areas that we had indicated to yourself that we are a bit delayed in them. So I don't know whether I should also repeat, because those are the main reasons really that we actually had these variances. Is that something is here? Sorry. I'm trying to go to the presentation on the threat plan. Chairperson, this is also going to move very quickly, because we have not changed our strategic plan. This is a presentation that we did last year, but what we have tried to do is that we're just going to highlight the areas that we have had to change downwards in terms of expenditure. You will note in the end of the slide when I talk to, I will highlight that we have had to go back to the drawing board with our strategic plan, even valid as it still is, because it's valid until 2016, but we have had to deal with the realities of budget cuts from National Treasury. So what then is going to happen with the presentation from my colleagues, they're just going to highlight areas where we have had to scale downwards the expenditure or quantities of what we are going to deliver. But the second thing that we would want to also draw the members to in terms of our strategic plan is the name change. And the name change of the branches, we've changed them not because we feel like we want to change them, but what one of the strategies that we have had to do in repositioning ourselves in the light of the budget is to look at how best we can group some of the resources within the organization and align them to sections that are doing one and the same thing. If I'm to use an example, for instance, we had new services that was residing in another branch. What we then felt is that we can take all the editors or the journalists that are in other pockets of the branch and we put them in one branch so that we maximize the resources that we have. So we put them under the content and writing, and we then renamed the branches to align them to what exactly they are doing. So the stakeholders, government relations unit, those that we are residing in, and we've moved them so that we align the relationship of what they are doing. So those are the two changes, but I think my colleagues will take you through the areas where we have done the changes. I'm not going to also talk to the mandate, but I just want to highlight the thrust of the government communication strategic plan, that we move from the premise that government communication is a service delivery element. I think it's not communicating service delivery, but our view is that communication forms part of service delivery. That's the one area. The second area of our communication resides on the fact that you communicate in order to empower the community. But importantly, we communicate so as to update communities of what is happening in government so that they actually understand what the members who have been appointed are doing in terms of service delivery. I'm not going to talk to this because it's basically what we're trying to do is to communicate the priorities of government. We also communicate in order to empower the communities, and we're also saying that in the process of doing that, we take advantage of the technology that is there in order to make sure that we are at all times up to date in communicating with the communities. That is our mandate, and I think I'm going to move. I'm not going to talk to the MDDA. MDDA is there. The mission, vision, and values, they are still the same. But if I have to emphasize the pulse of communication excellence, it's one vision that for us keeps us going, because whatever we do, and that is why we also appreciate the members also giving us some criticisms on areas that we need to improve, because that's what we are seeking to achieve, to be the pulse of excellence in government communication. Yes, frozen off. The areas of that I needed to also highlight briefly is the challenges that we are having as we move forward. The first one I think I have highlighted, the financial constraints. I think the financial constraints are going to be with us for quite a while, because we are going to be having these cuts for the next MTEF period. And the challenge for us is how do we constantly reprioritize and look at how best we can. In fact, at this point, we're even having a discussion of saying how much can we exploit in terms of sponsorship in order to achieve what is meant to achieve. And those are all the things that we're grappling with as we move forward. The second area that will always remain a challenge for us is how do we institutionalize government communication? Because I think it's an area that we still grapple with, that we get communicators that are not necessarily trained as government communicators. They actually are trained, they either come as journalists, but what we are trying to move on, and I think we're making a lot of progress in terms of coming with a qualification that can even be hosted by the universities, and I think it remains a challenge. But what we are how we're responding to it is by constantly having a lot of short courses and long-term training intervention, which I think you will find in our report as we present. The other constraint, which I think has even made GCIS management very unpopular with the staff, is the office. I think we're operating under extremely uncomfortable conditions, if one has to say. The lifts are not working, the aircon is not working, the size, people are on top of each other. It's just a never-ending...
People are on top of each other. What are they doing on top of each other?
Sorry if ever you are explaining it that way. But I think that I'm trying to illustrate the size of the office. As only men are actually seeing it that way. I think that's why all the women members are confused. What are you talking about? Because they are understanding what I'm trying to say. It's only men who can understand what makes them laugh. But basically, Jefferson, we're trying to illustrate the constraint that we have. But we are comforted by the fact that, yes, finally, Treasury did agree to give us resources. Our building is moving. We're looking forward to having a new building, which when we open it, we will gladly invite the members to come in and get a taste of excellence. And lastly, I think it's the insufficient media bulk buying support, which I think Donald has spoken to it, but I think also we're making progress. Because I think for us, we feel that's one area government can do with savings. Because if you go and negotiate buying media space as a collective, you actually benefit on getting a quite substantive discount. I think it has been an uphill battle to convince departments that come, let us actually do the media buying, because we've got an advantage of the expertise. We've got the expertise in terms of the software that we can track what the trend is out there. And I think slowly we are making progress. I think in the new financial year we will even be coming and in a quarterly basis updating you the pleasing results that we are getting and how much we've saved government as we move forward. So those are some of the dynamics, Chairperson, that are in the space as we move on. I'm not going to talk to the strategic objectives because my colleagues, when they present their areas of work, they will actually talk to, and it's basically still the same as last year. The structure, it hasn't changed, but if I can highlight, Chairperson, the Hollywood that seems to have been part of our lives is as a result of the contract of the previous CEO of GCIS on the 26th of August. I was appointed as an acting CEO. In my previous job, I was the DDG of Corporate Services, but we're happy to say to members the advert finally is going out in this coming weekend. The post of the acting DDG of Corporate Services, which was the post occupied by Vusi Mona, Mr. Mona has since moved to SANRAL to also try and make a contribution in terms of communication in SANRAL. The advert of the DCO is out and the interviews are happening next week. So I think in the next presentation we will be bringing here, there will be a fully fledged staff of the top management of GCIS. I'm now going to move on to my colleagues talking to their areas, and I've said that I'm going to be a dictator. They are just going to focus on areas that we have changed in our threat plan. I've already mentioned the word of the naming of the branch that is going to change, but Tyrone can talk to that area.
Thank you, CEO, and thank you, Chairperson. Just on a brief lighter note, I must just say that as we get into the programs, you will see that we really have no time to be on top of each other. We are very, very busy people. I think in program two, which will be renamed content processing and dissemination, to really be more descriptive of what it is we do on a daily basis, us strategic purpose is to provide leadership in government communication to ensure coherence, coordination, consistency, quality, impact, and responsiveness of that communication. A brief overview is that among the many things we do, the highlights are the provision of language services, translations in other words. You will recall from the earlier presentation, you'll have seen that we create a number of and operate a number of content platforms. We also coordinate within this branch media monitoring of local and international coverage on the country. We conduct various research surveys and analysis to understand the communication environment and to understand how people, how citizens feel about government performance. It's also in this area that we implement marketing and distribution for GCIS, and we manage corporate identity across government to ensure that our identity is consistent and that we use elements of identity to make it easier for people to interact with government. In the sub-program policy and research, we have a very strong focus on media as one of the most important stakeholders for GCIS. And I should just add briefly that our work as GCIS as a whole is driven by a very strong segmentation study and program to ensure that we reach a very broad range of stakeholders with information and communication that's appropriate to them on platforms that they prefer, and this is being extended soon by a structured approach to social media. But we produce, therefore, 12 newsletters for political principles. We've had to take this down to 8 because of budgetary constraints and the fact that we're not growing the team significantly. But we don't believe that that reduction in number will have a negative impact on the substance of what we'll be dealing with when we produce these newsletters. We will also continue to obviously pay close attention to media coverage domestically and internationally. This allows us to identify platforms where we can profile government and to identify those opportunities where we will need to respond to issues in the environment. Which leads into the next point about alerting stakeholders to breaking news to ensure a better coordinated response. So we have various ways of communicating with departments to alert them to issues in the media environment so that we deal with those things timelessly and to stop, I think, the contagion, reputational contagion from spreading. We analyze trends in media coverage on government so that we know whether messages are suitable, that we know whether what media are saying about government or what messengers, stakeholders are saying through media about government so that we can respond, but also that we can proactively ensure that we manage our reputation and the message that underpins that reputation. And then this team is also involved continuously in the drafting of content, including for public media, op-eds and other forms of communication. Also under policy and research, public opinion, to which I've already alluded in some way, is something on which we keep close tabs to measure the mood and direction the country is taking. This gives us an indications of social stability. It allows us to identify for the national executive those issues where greater communication is required, and then very importantly, to also reflect on the impact of any communication we engage in at any particular point in time. Through public opinion research, we're also able to identify the information needs and the preferred communication channels of various constituencies, various interest groups, various living standards measures groups around the country so that we really engage in targeted communication rather than the proverbial spray and pray approach. think I've said enough about monitoring perceptions on government performance. And then to say that we will also during this period focus on the 20 years celebration of democracy and freedom, because this is a major milestone for the country as a whole, and we understand that this period will generate great public interest, and it's an opportunity for us to remobilize the nation for the period ahead. In our publishing division, there are a number of downward revisions of original targets based on budgetary constraints, and I think the comment I made earlier about the fact that we will not be shortchanging the substance stands, but it is just to say that even though it was our intention and our wish to expand the reach of some of these platforms, that's been made difficult. The one issue obviously is that we will intensify online presence because we are closely tracking the way in which citizens access information on particularly on mobile media, and we believe that that may be both a cost-effective and effective way to reach a greater number of people more comfortably, in addition to the very serious point also of the environmental impact of engaging only in print products. So, yeah. One of those print products is something that we're particularly proud of. It's become, in a short space of time, I think not just the GCIS flagship, but the government flagship, and that is a public sector manager magazine that looks very critically and very closely at key issues confronting public service managers. It also looks at case studies of where departments are doing well. So it's on a small scale, a Harvard Business Review for the public service, but it makes it possible for us to reach the decision-making set across government in a way that really stimulates debate, deals with critical issues, and ensures that the management core of government understand government policy and its objectives and understand the role they need to play in making those policies felt in the lives of people. I've already said that we are stepping up the game in social media. We're in the process right now of recruiting a director for social media so that we can be more effective in interacting with people. We don't want to use social media just to dump information. It's important for us to have real conversations with people and to follow people where they are, and also to stimulate people into following governments where we are. You'll recall from the previous presentation that we produce newsletters for public servants. In marketing and distribution, we're responsible for promoting awareness of GCIS and its flagship products, platforms, and services. We have a number of campaigns we launch from time to time, and we're using the marketing function to ensure that there's a consistent application of corporate identity, that we use innovative and exciting ways to position not just GCIS but government as a whole, to improve distribution of information products, and to ensure that across government the public service brand is applied consistently, and that people are able to interact with us more easily. We also have an extension of the Public Sector Manager magazine in the form of Public Sector Manager forums, where we bring members of the national executive or senior executives in government into touch with public service managers to discuss managerial and leadership issues as well as policy matters.
Thanks, Isfuna. The branch that I'm managing, it was called Government and Stakeholder Engagement. The new name is going to be Intergovernmental Coordination and Stakeholder Management, as the acting CEO indicated, in line with, you know, bringing in all the responsibilities that we're doing together. The functions, the purpose.
Just for
think it's the printing. No, it's the printing because it's there. But when you print, I think it's the second page. That's why I must go to the new building with the updated technology.
I thought it's just on top of each other.
Just to say that our branch exists to ensure that we implement a development communication through mediated and unmediated communication and sound stakeholder relations and partnerships. We've got about 5 key objectives in our branch. We drive the outreach programs to inform the public largely about the government's programs, plans, priorities, as well as achievements. We drive coherent messaging for alignment across the 3 spheres of government at national, provincial, and local level. We build partnerships with stakeholders, and a lot of our projects, we work with the stakeholders. We lead and implement a rapid response system, and I'll talk to that later. And also, we have the responsibility for international, regional, and international communications support, largely working and supporting DELCO, amongst others. This program has got 4 sub-programs, the first one being the provincial and local liaison. Just remember again, we've got offices in all the 9 provinces and also in the district offices. One important thing that I think is important for me to mention, in line with what the HCCO indicated earlier about the gadget cuts and the like, was as one of the things that we decided we're going to do to scale down on the number of foot soldiers, the senior communication officers in the provinces. We used to have an official in each and every local municipality, but then we have actually decided, because of the resources we're scaling down, we are having more officers at the district level. But that is also advised by the fact that local government communication is maturing. Most of the local municipalities are appointing their communications people, as GCIS will then work with those communicators at the local government level. So, and this reduction has actually affected a lot of our targets at the local level. As an example, we have reduced our target for communications campaigns at local level to 2001 from 2.4. We have reduced the target of promoting the Tusong service centers from 680 to 484. And I think this is one target that we are going to always be on our toes about, as the acting CEO had indicated. We are interested, we want to promote, we continue promoting. Just to indicate, the day before yesterday, we're actually having a community radio station a campaign to promote the GCIS work, but also with the two songs. We connected to 65 community radio stations talking about the two songs. So we are interested and will continue to promote the two songs. We have a product, My District Today. It's an electronic newsletter that talks about good news stories of what is happening at the local level. And this one is, much as we talk more about the policies and programs, but this newsletter talks about the success stories with people's voices, those that are the beneficiaries. And I'm made to believe that members are actually receiving the My District District Today. If not, I will make sure that you do. The next slide, please. Oh, yeah, it's not the first one, yeah. And then the other thing is, we have indicated that we have reduced our community liaison our community and stakeholder liaison visits from 3.2 to 2.7. And this is where we go and look and do an environmental assessment to identify what are the issues, what are the challenges, and then we come up with some responses. But also it includes preparing for the projects or for the campaigns that we will be doing. We support government's public participation in BIZO, and I'm actually very proud. I was actually saying to one member earlier on that we have this publication fresh from the printing press. that talks about public participation. It covers the president's CSOLA, and that is the support that we as GCIS has provided. It also covers the deputy president's war on poverty. But again, one of the things that we introduced last year and we are will be continuing to do this year is that after the State of the Nation address, we mobilize members of a cabinet to actually go and address the communities to unpack the State of the Nation address further, something that we are going to be doing. So this publication covers that. But also it covers a whole host of the Izimbizo public participations that the members of cabinet have done, and with pride to indicate that all of them, that is minister, the president, deputy president, ministers, deputy ministers, as well as the premiers, over the last year, they had done more than 2,500 community outreach events. The another program is the media engagement, and earlier on when I was talking about the challenges, I talked about cabinet briefings, just to say that after each and every cabinet meeting, we do support cabinet spokesperson with a cabinet statement, but also in a briefing, and as I indicated again, over after that also there would be some more communications, and we'll bring in ministers to further elaborate on what some of the cabinet decisions. We hold daily rapid response meetings, and this is one project or one initiative that we pride ourselves with. We do a lot. Just as an example, about a week or so ago, members might remember that there was a big media issue from Henke Pistorius saying that he's blaming ANC for the killings and what. Immediately thereafter, we issued a statement to rebut to say there's absolutely nothing about that. And actually, we're quite pleased that our story was fully rebuttal in Pretoria News, was fully covered. This is one of them. We also have the Government Communicators Forum. We're meeting thrice a year. We'll be meeting next week and taking the State of the Nation address for the communicators, and also giving marching orders. What does it mean for us as communicators? We have strategic interactions with the SANEF, the Press Gallery Association, as well as the Foreign Correspondents Association. With the SANEF last year, for instance, our meeting with the editors, we were able to explain and to unpack the infrastructure, the presidential infrastructure, PICC. Yeah? Yes. But also, we were able to unpack the national development plan. We continue to arrange cluster media briefings. Yesterday, the cabinet statement indicated that the program of action and the delivery agreement, I mean the program of action as well as the outcomes, the progress, how far they are. You will be having some media briefings soon, and those are being coordinated by us. Indicating also issues of regional integration and support. Yesterday, our Deputy Minister was addressing the media regarding the SADC Media Awards that will be happening. We are supporting that. But also, even with the BRICS, as you see BERCO in the forefront, you should know that we are behind them and supporting them. And the work of the clusters are continuing. We are continuing to coordinate the cluster work generally. Thank you.
Thank you very much. First, we can move to the next slide. If we can go to page 29. What I really wanted to highlight there is that this is one of the possibly the more simple components of GCIS, because it's fairly easy to track our performance. Our mission really is to drive down prices of various aspects of government's communication, whether we are buying media airtime or we are producing material and content. We see it very much in the space of cost saving. The other key area for us is really around ensuring that we don't lose the history of South Africa. We capture as much of the work that we, that the government is doing from day to day, and we are keeping dynamic archives that are accessible to the South African public. On page 30, I briefly touched on some of the work that is happening in the media bulk buying space, which is the one sub program. Our focus has really been on entrenching this culture of strategic media planning and buying, which really revolves around the use of research tools and on effective negotiation to make sure that we are able to deliver a saving to government's programs. I think in brief, what I did want to assure the committee is that there is an appetite to participate from the departments. We have 23 departments that are on board. We are working with them to really deliver savings that will allow us to also support some of the other strategic initiatives, such as supporting community media, television, radio, and community newspapers. So for us, that's quite important. From a media production perspective, we produce most of the government commercials from that you see on television, in print, on radio. Most of the voices that you hear from those various government departments, the work is being commissioned by them and it's being executed by us using our team of experts in-house. And what this has allowed us to do is to really try and align the messaging a lot closer to the programs of those departments to ensure that South Africans understand better the programs and the initiatives of the departments. The next slide is just a holding slide which summarizes what we do. It's more like a visual taster. And I think that summarizes where we are at.
Thanks very much, Pumla. The last program, which is the branch that I'm going to present, is the administration branch, which is commonly known as corporate services. I think, as you can see in the slide, the purpose is to provide overall management and support for the organization in terms of making sure that the line function sections are able to concentrate on what they are there for. Briefly, we can say the purpose is to drive the implementation of the strategic management process and procedures in line with the relevant legislation, to entrench best practice of project management, as we indicated earlier on, which is the discipline that we want to really have in the organization, also with our external line. The program also drives the implementation of our HR strategy in order to make sure that we attract the relevant people in the organization. We also provide support to ensure provision of IT infrastructure as well as the systems that are related to that. We ensure professional internal audit services in order to make sure that we are always kept in check as to whether we are complying or not. And lastly, we provide compliance and cost-effective finance and supply chain management. Briefly, the sub-programs, as they are divided, we've got human resources management. And human resources management, really, everything that it does, it's the implementation of the approved human resource strategy. It has got to do with all the elements of the maintenance, the support and the upkeep of our human capital, as well as the implementation of the internal communication strategy. We've got a very, very vigorous internal communication program in the organization, and our focus is twofold. We've got information to staff regarding government programs, as well as information to staff regarding GCIS programs themselves. Then another sub-program, which is strategic planning and program management, we are saying the purpose is to table the strategic and annual performance plans like we are doing right now, production and tabling of GCIS annual report, implement projects in line with the project management procedures and handbook, and also entrench project management disciplines throughout GCIS.
training and development program that we have. We are going to design and develop the curriculum for training of government communicators, and we will also have training sessions for newly appointed political principals. We are planning to have in the next year 4 induction sessions per annum, both for newly appointed political principals as well as newly appointed communication officers. We will also monitor communicator attendance for training and also produce a report for that. And like I've indicated earlier on, there is also government communicator's handbook that we will be continuing to review. The information management and technology sub-program is solely responsible for implementation of the strategic elements of 2017 information management technology strategies. We develop a strategy on an annual basis, and with that strategy, we are basically responding to the new trends in technology, and we introduce many initiatives to make sure that we are in line with the current technology trends. And the last one is our internal audit. We will continue updating and implementing the risk-based audit plan as well as an annual performance plan in order to make sure that we comply, and also produce audit reports on the implementation of the annual operational plan. I think that it's about the programs that deals with internal audit. The finance and supply chain management is another sub-program. We, in order to make sure that we comply, we will prepare and submit accurate annual financial statements, adhere also to the national treasury budget cycle, and make sure that we are compliant with supply chain facilities management processes. And the last one, like the CEO has indicated, we'll make sure that by next year, when the year starts, the second month, we'll be relocating to the new building. I think that brings me to the end.
Thanks, Kitu. In closing, Chairperson, I just thought we'll highlight the figures. I think we had spoken earlier about the budget having been cut. If you look there below where it's written baseline, I think those are the figures that have been cut down in GCIS, 3.9 million, which I think what we did, we tried to proportionally cut across the programs. And the figures of the budget for 2013 to 2016, you will note in the administration, it's 132. If I can draw the members' attention that this figure has come down from the last year, which was a once-off for the building, the 50 million that was given to us, it has actually, so you will note that it's not there. The reason it's actually higher than the line functions is the administration is the backbone of the IT infrastructure, the HR, the finances, and the project management. So I think there's a bigger budget there. But then the lower one, which is 120, it's in NEBU's area. That's the area that has got a bulk of the outreach programs. And I think we have quite a lot of foot soldiers in this program because they do the direct interaction with the public. Then we have the 97 million, which is in the main, the writing. That's where it is residing. We've got bigger printing cost and distribution cost in that environment. But even in human resources element, most of our journalists who carry stories on government, you find them in that program. And the last smaller one, that 47 million, which is under Donald, it's the production team. If I'm just to summarize the budget of GCIS, the key members in our strategic plan as we move forward is excellence. And we try as much as we can to do whatever needs to be done in-house. I think that's one thing that we pride ourselves. When you look at our figures and when you monitor us, we strive not to have consultants. Once you see consultants in our budget, you should know there's an underwriter. It's a skill that we didn't know, we didn't have, but very often when we do a tender, we will always say proviso transfer of skills. So what we try and do, the only contract out in our figures as we move forward is the research. research is a bit tricky because you want an independent kind of a feedback of what the views are out there around the government communication. That we can tell you right now that it is a resource that will always reside outside. In terms of production, I think Donald has also captured it nicely to say most of the adverts that you see on TV, we produce them in-house. We do most of the stuff in-house. The graphic design, we do it in-house. So I think it's one skill that we quite are proud of. We're cracking it. In fact, this year, given that the budget has been cut, what we have tried to do is take every staff member on board of what is it that we're trying to do. And you'll be amazed at how much creativity is coming out from the public servants themselves. So I think that was also the benefit. So in closing, Chairperson, is this is us, this is what we're trying to do, and as we move forward, we're quite excited that the strategic plan will thrive. I'm not going to talk to the breakdown. I think the members have, that's the breakdown per program of what constitute the figures that as I indicated to them. And that concludes our presentation, Chairperson.
Thank you, Acting CEO. I need to say Group CEO. SIPC issues, you know. It's always on our thing, so Honorable Sain and Panermeve. Liskoman, Lazi, Kilen, Shniman, Shinwam, will be remaining the two of us here. Honorable Sain.
Thank you, Chairperson. Most of my questions I'm going to actually refer to this document, not the presentation, but the document on the third quarter performance. And Chairperson, the first question or concern that I have to, first of all, thank you for the presentations, but I think GCIS should get some, other than journalists and so on, they should get some, perhaps some economists or some mathematicians as well. Because if you look at your page 3 of this document, where you give your performance, your targets, your chief targets, etc., there's lots of discrepancies between your targets, your chief targets, and what you've got in the same document. And I'm going to give you the page numbers. Now, if you look at that table on page 4, for example, and you look at your total targets for the third quarter, if I add them up, then they come to 95 and not 94. I'm on this document, Chair, which is the document on which the presentation was, yes. The third quarter performance report, and not the presentation. Yes. Page 4. There's a table right at the top. And you've got your total targets, and then it's per program, and you've got a total at the bottom. The total targets adds up to 95. But more importantly, your achieved targets, if I add them up there, adds up to 75 and not 80. Your delayed targets add up to 9 and not 8. Your targets not achieved add up to 7 and not 2. Now, let's just for starters, if you go to the actual individual programs, then similarly, there's, if I go over to page 6, for example, program 1, you then talk about 29 targets where previously it was 30. And I think the 29 is probably the correct one. But I can go through each program and there's this discrepancy. So it leaves me with some doubts. I just want to put that on the table. I'm now going to proceed, Chairperson. And you know, just for example, on program 2 on page 7, you talk there about 24 were achieved where on the table I referred to it that says 21. And so on, right up to program 4. Okay, Chairperson, I'm also going to concentrate primarily on the targets not achieved. And if I look at the one that is of some concern to me is your digitization. digitization. And what your report says, the service provider was unable to get the system working. It also says that you purchased a system. Now, that is of concern to me because there's a possibility of fruitless and wasteless expenditure here, but that didn't come across in your presentation. You said something about the technology was not available. This is not what the report says. It says you actually purchased it, but the service provider was unable to get the system working. So I think we need information there. Did you purchase it from somebody that then couldn't get the very system that you purchased, couldn't get it working for you? And we need to know what has been done to address it if that is the case. Are you going to get your money back? Are you getting a different system? I don't know. You also, in your conclusion, and I'm going to try and skip some things, Chair, that I'm sure my colleagues will cover. You yourself say, in the second paragraph of your conclusion on page 30, there are challenges with the accuracy and relevance of some of the evidence uploaded. Now, this is great concern. If you're not sure about your performance monitoring, but you bring it in the report to us and you then tell us, but there are challenges and you're not sure about it. How do we and the public out there and the departments that you actually service, how can we accept it? I mean, it's actually unacceptable for you to indicate to us that you are not sure about the information when it comes to monitoring performance. That's something you need to urgently get right before you, in fact, do your next performance report, I would imagine. Just a few more, Chairperson. You talk about, I'm referring to, and I'm going to refer to the page numbers for my colleagues' benefit. It's on page 20 and 21. I'm just going to stick to this document for now, Chair. You talk about, on page 21, for example, you've implemented an online job application process and you refer to certain links. Well, I actually took the time to go to those links and there are absolutely no vacancies recorded. And yet, I mean, we do know that you've got vacancies within the department, you say so yourself. But your web page is not up to date. Because it says, and I went up on there this morning, there's no vacancies recorded on your web page. Something that I'm concerned about, that we don't want to have a situation, and it normally happens with construction of buildings. You did indicate that there was a delay due to rain, and it may just be the choice of words, but then you say the building will be constructed by the 30th of April. You also referred in the presentation to it will be fitted out and you'll be in the building hopefully by May. Now, there's a big difference between the construction being concluded and the actual finishing being done. So it's really just a point of clarity for me. Are you saying that the contractor will actually hand over by the end of April, completely finishing everything done and you will move in? Or is it just the shell, just the building, construction of the building? And somewhere in these reports, when you refer to the delays, you say there's a cost involved. But you haven't made any reference to that cost. So we've got no idea. It's not reflected in the budget anyway. It doesn't seem to have been costed. And obviously there is a risk if it's going to cost you more because of legitimate delays, then it's a risk that needs to be addressed. You don't seem to have given it any thought whatsoever. One of the concerns off the top of my head is in your achievements with the South African handbook, you indicate, which is a good book, by the way, I use it regularly, particularly when I go on trips overseas, but you indicate somewhere in here that there's no more, they've all been distributed. So I was quite surprised when I got here this morning and there's boxes outside. Now, and I'm trying to find it where you actually say so in this document, and that was in your presentation. So again, you know, it makes me take what you give us with somewhat skeptical. If in your report you say there are absolutely none of them, they've all been distributed, and I will find the page. And yet there's, you come here this morning and you come with boxes full of this stuff. So they're obviously there that will be distributed. Yes, you've got some in stock. Chairperson, one of the problems that I've got, and it's your rapid response. When we did an oversight visit last year, we were taken to your monitoring of your daily news, etc., and it was really a top class operation as far as I could see. But I'm surprised. I mean, if I look at two things that refers to the Department of Communications, one is DPT. You've been very quiet in assisting the department to in fact get information out there to the public. I believe the department has failed to keep the public informed, but part of your mandate is to assist departments. The other thing, Chairperson, is the postal strike. I made a member statement yesterday and I indicated that the ministry has been quiet. Last year when they had the strike and the strike that is currently ongoing. Now, there is something that I would imagine you would have picked up, and that's your rapid response. That's exactly why you've got a rapid response. But to my mind, you have failed the department in that regard. The public doesn't know what's going on, except what they hear from other media houses, but not from government, not from the department, and not from GCIS. I think I'm going to... I'm a bit hesitant to go over... Let me go quickly to the strat plan. I've covered questions on there, although I probably have another few there. But let me go quickly to the strat plan. Again, just at the outset, let me say that in your financial information at the end, you refer to the renamed programs. But in your strat plan, which is 13-14 to 16-17, you haven't bothered to actually rename the programs when you address them one by one. And again, it's a bit of, you know, maybe a small thing, but it's a fundamental flaw to me. In the same document, under the information, the financial information, you've got those programs, but you fail to just rename them so we can at least, you know, put the two together. And then I just want to ask Chairperson, again, based on information last year, based on this media bulk buying, there's two issues that I want to address. One is the media bulk buying and the other one is the PMS. I seem to recall that you get advertising from the PMS. It's targeted at a high income group within the public sector, and you therefore said that there are big brands that advertise in that document. Now, there's obviously income from that, but I don't know where that income goes to. You've said that your finances are tight. You don't show it. Does it go directly to Treasury? Because I believe if you're responsible for the document, it should then come to GCIS, so to offset some of your costs. So, and similarly with the media bulk buying, you negotiate discounts, but again, I imagine that the department that you negotiate them for pay for those adverts, but it's a service that you provide to a department. So it's not clear here whether you recoup some of your costs from those departments or not. And I'd just like some clarity on that, please, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. I gave you the time because I knew that you were about to leave. Yes, but you see, it's you who's leaving, that's okay, but he is outside. I started with you. So if in 2 minutes acting CEO can just respond to his question so that he can leave better, so that we can have tea after that.
Thanks, Member Steyn, for the question. I think I just want to start with the digitization. I think we have to be upfront and say...
I'm happy you got it right this time.
When we decided that we needed to do something with the tapes that were piled in our offices, we decided there and there that we needed to do something because it's historical material that cannot just be shredded. But at the time when we took the decision, we thought the technology is easily available. And even when it is available, it is easy to use. It's only when we went out on tender, we discovered that there is no machine that can actually convert the material. As I said, that some of the material is as far back as in the 70s. So we needed to get some kind of a technology that will be able to convert. So when we went out on tender and we couldn't find a company that could provide us a machine that can do that, and when initially when we thought it is an easily available over the counter, so that's the first shock that we realized. But then when we then had to, through a company that is in South Africa, to order it overseas, it took a bit of time. But when it finally came, we also had to grapple with how to use it. But having said that, there is training that is happening. We are actually doing it. And the other thing that we also picked up, it's very slow exercise. But it is on track. It's happening. It's just that it's not going to be achieved within the stipulated time. But we are happy to say that the machine is already with us. That is why you are even seeing that we've already achieved a certain quantity. But Donald, if ever I've missed something, will also add on that. Then can I quickly also go to the building? The building, you correct, I actually thought after I presented my figures that I should have highlighted that, yes, there will be cost implications. They have assured us that they will be finished by the 30th, but part of the expenses that we are going to have to roll over, in fact, we've started the process of writing to Treasury to ask for the rollover. Some of the activities that are happening, we cannot pay before. For instance, some of the furniture, some of the cabling, some of the things that will happen after the 30th once the building is done. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's not more than 30 million that we will then request from Treasury to actually roll over to the next financial year. I should have mentioned it up front, but I'm sorry for that. The rapid response... Remember, one of the challenges that we have is that, for instance, the post office, as you state, a post office reports to a particular structure. We may pick up some of the issues, but we constrain it because it's not in our terrain. The same applies to some of the issues that we pick up. You correct to say we run a 24-hour service of monitoring, but you only depend on a department responding. And the example I keep making is that if, for instance, we pick up that there's a child who has died in Barra out of negligence, much as we want to respond, we cannot respond from no basis. We have to actually get the hospital to tell us what really happened, how are they going to deal with it, and then you can respond. And so some of those issues are not that easily responded to by GCIS, but where we can, I think you just have to monitor us on the website. We try as much as we can to actually do the response that the member is actually asking us, and we do advise the departments where we can. Some of the departments do take our advice. In fact, we go as far as even drafting the response ourselves, and we send it to the department to say, this is how you should respond. Please feel free to edit it or not. But I think we're trying, we'll get there. The issue of the name change, remember, you correct, I think we were caught up with not being sure what is the right thing to do. National Treasury says you don't have to reprint it. But if you look at this annual plan, we've changed the names. But what do they then advise us in terms of their, to say we'll be wasting money going through the whole exercise of incurring cost of printing just because of the name? What you can do is to change it in your annual and then draw the members' attention to the fact that we have changed that. Media bulk buying, incurring the cost, that's our ideal. Unfortunately, National Treasury doesn't allow you to reuse the money because the exercise of allocating budget is done through Parliament. So you can't then fundraise through the back door because the members will not have accountability of how much money. So when you get it, you then refer it to the national revenue. If you want it, you come back to the members and say, we've raised so much, can we have access to it? So that's our ideal on the long term, but we're not complaining because it's a system that we're still trying to build. Ideally, that's what we want to see ourselves going to. In terms of the target, I can only apologize. I think we also should have paid more attention to some of the numbers that you are pointing out, the calculations. I think we'll go and clean it up and probably come back to you. In terms of the evidence, It's something that the Auditor General also have raised. I think we were saying at the beginning that this exercise has really made us really wake up to Mother Earth. One of the things that we have been battling with is the section says achieved and not give us the evidence. And I think Zukiswa has been grappling to say we need something that when a person says I've had 10 media briefings, we want evidence. We've put in the system, it is beginning to bear fruit, so that a person knows when I say I've done this, give us the evidence. And our system is beginning to pick it up. In fact, for the next cycle, this will be the thing of the past, because I think people are getting to the groove that they have to give evidence. They can't just say done, achieved. They need to support it with evidence. I don't know whether I've covered everything. At the South African Yearbook, can I request Tyrone to talk to it? And can I also request Kidu to talk to the online advert? And I know that you pressed for time.
Thanks, Honourable Member. I think with regard to Yearbook distribution, we tried to work with that very smartly because it's a relatively small number that one has to get into the country as a whole. Public libraries and academic libraries are some of the main distribution points. And I must just say that events such as these is one of those distribution points. At the moment, we have a very small stock left of copies that could be distributed at events like these, but the bulk of it is in the marketplace at important public information centers. So we try to take care of that.
Thanks, CEO. I think with regards to the web page, I can just say we will check as to what might happen. We've got a system in place that when the post, the vacancy goes out for advertising, it must be, when we go to the newspaper, to the public, the vacancy circular, it must be in the web page. But I can only say I'll check as to what might have happened if we have a post that has been advertised but it's not there reflecting there. And then maybe just to add to the one of construction complete, the ourselves with the constructor agreed that by the end of this month they will be finished. In April there will be a what we call beneficiation occupation, where now we'll be taking care of all the smaller things and the like. But they assured us, despite of all these delays, by the 1st of May the building will be ours, and we are looking.
Thank you. Members, let's just break before happened what happened earlier. It's quarter to now. We'll start again at 5:02. And Honorable Van der Merwe